Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Yeah, you want to see crazy? I'll tell you.
Have you gone mad?
Most everyone's mad here.
Hey, Brent Johnson and the Milkshakes Markets family. My name is John Katsumita. Welcome everybody back to Milkshakes Markets Madness. This is a weekly, multiple times a week show that started out with a primary focus of just talking about markets. Well, I guess, Brent, initially it was about the madness, which is what we're going to record here today. Is there anything that's from the world of madness that's jumping out at you right away? I have a couple things to share, but I want to know if you're seeing anything in the world that's striking your attention.
Well, just from a madness perspective, and nothing to do with markets, you know, we've got Colorado playing Nebraska tomorrow in football. And anybody who grew up in Nebraska, especially when I grew up in Nebraska, is a rabid Nebraska Cornhuskers fan. Logic totally goes out the window, and it is a full-fledged religion. Unfortunately, for the last 20 years, the religion has been on some you know, dire straits, for lack of a better way of saying it. And, you know, probably 5 or 6 years ago, Nebraska fired their coach and hired, like, the Nebraska Golden Boy who had led them to a national championship 30 years ago. And everybody thought he was the guy. And then after 5 miserable seasons under him, it became pretty clear last fall that he was going to be let go. And someone asked me one time, who would I want to replace Scott Frost? And I said, Deion Sanders. Because I'd always liked Deion Sanders. I thought he would be great just to change everything up totally, have a total restart. He would bring some excitement to the program and get it off to a good start. Well, lo and behold, they don't hire Deion Sanders, but Colorado does. And Colorado, when I was growing up, was one of Nebraska's biggest rivals. Oklahoma and Colorado were the two big rivals, and there were some epic games back then during the late 80s and into the 90s. And so now tomorrow, Nebraska lost their opening game last week in the last minute, like Nebraska always does. And Colorado beat TCU last week. And TCU had been in the national championship game last year. So Deion Sanders is now at Colorado. Last year, Colorado only won one game. And now, in him being in Colorado for 6 months, he has them beating the last year's national championship runner-up. And the game tomorrow is in Colorado. So it doesn't bode well for the Huskers. So I'm going to be cheering for the Huskers, but I've always been a Deion fan, so it's kind of a bittersweet day. And not only that, the game price tickets are just through the roof. And so it's kind of crazy. Like, the madness is kind of back with Colorado and Nebraska.
Well, the ticket price is really the maddening part. I think there was some seats selling for $2,000 when, prior to the season opener a week ago, before Colorado could, show whether they had the stuff or not, I think the ticket was maybe $100 or something like that. So, the funny thing about paying exorbitant prices to go see sporting events is an interesting one. If it's a Super Bowl or kind of some sort of big one-off game, I kind of get it. Even if you look at something like we've talked about in these various madness episodes where we go off the rails, it's not so much about markets. It's more of our personal interests and things we find crazy. We have talked about Messi and Miami and all that. I mean, I get paying a higher price ticket to see someone you idolize or phenomenal athlete, the best in the game. But what do you get out of watching a Colorado college football game where the star attraction, so to speak, is basically a guy wearing a headset?
Well, I think there's a couple things that you kind of got to understand in order to understand why you would pay this much for a college football game. Number one is that Nebraska doesn't have any pro sports. And to a certain extent, that is Nebraska's, biggest sport. And everybody loves it. And then the second thing is that it's a border war, right? You've got Nebraska and Colorado are right next to each other. I grew up in western Nebraska, about an hour from Colorado. And so on the weekends in the summer, we lived next to this big reservoir. And in the weekends in the summer, Colorado would just inundate this lake and these reservoirs. And so you would always be so annoyed that all these people from Colorado just showed up. And then, in, you know, like I said, in the late 80s, early 90s, Colorado got very good at football and they beat us a couple times. And so, you know, there, and I think there's just kind of this hearkening back to the glory days, right? You know, for years, both Nebraska and Colorado were very good in football. And then for years now, they haven't been. And so now there's some, you know, a renewed rivalry. I think there's a little bit of nostalgia that goes along with it. That's part of it. The second thing is Nebraska, despite not playing well for the last 20 years, has historically had one of the best traveling fan bases ever. Like whenever they would go play in the Orange Bowl in Miami, like the stadium would be full of, there'd be more people, they'd be playing Miami in the Orange Bowl and there'd be more people from Nebraska in the stands than people from Miami. And, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, they went to Ireland to play a game and like the stadium was fully red. So it doesn't matter where the game's at in Nebraska. People just go to it because they got nothing else going on, which I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of serious. And so, you know, there will be a huge Nebraska crowd there tomorrow. And then the other side is, you know, Colorado's excited to have Deion Sanders there. And Deion Sanders has, you know, in a ton of revenue has come into the University of Colorado just in the 9 months that Deion has been involved with them. You know, I think his salary is kind of already paid for with the increased enrollment, the increased boosters that are, you know, giving money to the school. Colorado changed from the Pac-10 back to, I think, the Big 12. I forget even where they went. And that's something else that Deion has been kind of outspoken on. He's been saying that it's time for the players to get some of the money rather than just the coaches and the schools getting. So I think it's all of this stuff is kind of mixed together that's making tomorrow's game, at least in my world, it kind of big. So now I think we just talked 10 minutes about Nebraska football, but it is kind of maddening.
Yeah, I said I don't understand, and you went on a tirade about why it makes sense. And in the world of madness, there is no there is no explanation for it. And what you just said was certainly not justified for paying a $2,000
ticket.
There
is no explanation.
Yeah, although I do think it's kind of interesting in respect to getting a visual of you and your youth playing in the, getting into trouble in the watering hole with, you know, foreigners coming across the border. I feel like it's almost like a Point Break, you know, type of situation. I wonder if your nickname was War Child back in the day.
Dude, I was 6'5" and 150 pounds. I was so tall and skinny that I couldn't have beat anybody up. So it was, you know, I was probably hiding from the big Colorado guys coming in.
Gotcha. So that's where Moses gets it. Speaking of sports, and while we're on this tangent, I just kind of name dropped your son there. He's been getting heavily involved in volleyball lately. And, you know, you've shared a few photos here and there, and it looks like he's rising in the ranks and becoming, you know, quite successful in the sport.
Yeah. You know, a year ago, he didn't even want to play volleyball. Coach kind of cornered him in the hall at school and said, "I want you on my team." And then he got asked to join this very good club team, and they ended up getting third in the national tournament in Orlando. So he's done very well. He's gotten a lot better. And last weekend was a little bit maddening for him because in a tournament they were in, they beat the number one team, and nobody expected them to beat them. And he got the block on the final point to win the match.
Nice.
And so they were kind of going crazy. Unfortunately, then in the next game against a team that they should have beaten easily, they got beat. So, you know, he had the experience of, you know, having the high 1 minute and the low the next. So it just kind of goes to show you that it's always the next game that matters the most. So anyway, he's good. He's loving it. He's doing really well. And it's I'm very proud of him. So it's fun to watch.
Well, I'm glad we could pull the curtain back a little bit on Brent Johnson, the country boy, and now family man. But this is the madness segment. And why don't we pivot pretty hard to some real extreme madness? You know, I think the whole Tucker Carlson coming to Twitter was such a very interesting decision. And for the most part, he's kind of delivered a lot of really high quality interviews. I mean, the Trump interview, whether you would consider the conversation itself high quality or not, is a different thing altogether. But within the first 24 hours, it had over 200 million views. I mean, there's every television station and broadcast on the planet would kill for that. But then recently, now I kind of get it more. I feel like it's something, it'd be like a guest that we would have on this show, right? He brings on this crackhead who is claiming to have had, you know, a previous relationship with Barack Obama. Now, I think some of the conspiracy theories around Barack Obama being homosexual and Michelle Obama actually being a man, you know, the conspiracy theorists like to refer to as Big Mike. And there's a whole rabbit hole that you can go down there. That's, again, some of these conspiracy theories are sometimes just fun to plant you in the world just to see how crazy the storylines get. Maybe it's true, maybe it isn't. Doesn't matter. Sometimes they're entertaining. But what is your take on, more so not so much the interview, but the decision for someone like Tucker? He's had a couple really good outperformances, so to speak, and then kind of just go like way out of left field with this guest.
Yeah, to me, it's just, it was the wrong time, the wrong guest, and the wrong way to do it. And there's just really no other way for me to reconcile this. I kind of get it, but I'm also just like, what the hell are you doing? You know, because to your point, like, he came out pretty strong, did, you know, covered some very kind of serious and important topics, and, you know, and it kind of went from, you know, 60 Minutes level to, you know, TMZ level pretty quickly. So, I mean, the funniest thing to me about it, I know what the interview was about. I didn't actually listen to the interview. But I don't know if you know who Michael Rapaport is. Michael Rapaport is a guy from New York City. He's an actor, but, you know, he sent something out on Twitter commenting about the guy that was being interviewed, right? And he's shown a picture of the guy while he's talking. And when I first came across it, I literally thought both pictures were of Michael Rapaport. And it took me a minute to realize that it wasn't, because he actually looks like a younger version of this older crackhead. And so to me, that was the most entertaining part of the whole thing. Not the interview itself was a bit ridiculous, in my opinion. You know, here's the thing, John. If anybody is outraged by it, if anybody is outraged by us talking about it, I mean, buckle up, because this is only going to get worse over the next 12 months as we head into the next election. I mean, this stuff is, you know, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it's going to happen. So you better get ready.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that. And I think a good way to wrap up this madness segment is bringing up the conversation or soundbite I had caught when you were on a Twitter Spaces, and it was all about, you know, kind of macro and AI and all these things that are going on. One of the points that you highlighted, which, you know, I'll post this clip on Twitter once we release this madness video, but you had brought, you know, to the attention in the conversation was that things are going to get crazy. And over the next 18 months, one of the most important things that you can do is kind of get grounded with the people around you, because you're going to have disagreements and you need to be able to stay sound of mind and not lose your mind when, you know, these various claims and narratives and you know, out of left field attacks on, you know, maybe your view of the world, you can't let it get so deep under your skin that you lose grip on things.
Yeah, you know, in many ways, I think that's what the politicians want. They want us at each other so that we're not after them, right? And so I think you kind of got to be careful not to buy into it too much. And, you know, it sounds kind of like a throwaway line, but I'm dead serious when I say the best thing that you can do over the next 12 months is figure out how to stay calm in the midst of the storm, because I really do think it's going to get really crazy.
Well, we appreciate that word of advice, War Child. We thank you for joining us on this Madness Edition episode. And we will we'll look forward to getting the feedback and comments on the large section of this conversation that was focused on sports. We know how much our crew loves hearing that.
Oh, yeah. They're going to love it.
Yes, definitely going to love it. And I'm also looking forward to hearing what kind of you know, thoughts and feedback people have about the crackhead interview. That's I think, you know, the madness segment has become more of a conversation piece for our community. It's starting to grow as kind of that, you know, take a break from the constant pounding our head against the wall with markets and laugh at some of the craziness. So I'm sure there's going to be some good comments on that.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. This is Milkshakes Markets Madness. This is our once a week segment called the Madness Edition. Please join us for some of the other videos we do throughout the week. We do a Monday peek at the week. We do a midweek update. We started doing a new segment called WWJD, What Would Johnson Do? This is where we kind of propose a one or the other question. If you haven't seen the first version of that episode or that segment, I encourage you to do so. It was actually a great conversation around what Brent would do if he was given the opportunity to have $100 million or 50,000 ounces of gold and how to hold that for 5 years. A very good discussion around, you know, monetary policy, sound money, ideologies. So I think you'll enjoy that. But that'll do it for now. And we'll be sharing our full-length weekend episode with you here in about 24 hours. So hopefully everyone enjoyed this, and we'll see you in about a day. This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.